This is the Goozer Nation podcast for the week of December 16th of 2013.
Ron Burgundy here. Listen, I understand that some of you feel very strongly about your console, that one is better than the other. I've seen a lot of fighting. Here's a tip. Try to think of these different consoles like different women. Totally different, beautiful women. Women that you can play. There now. Isn't that nicer? World peace acquired. You're welcome.
But I want a PS4, not a crappy Xbox.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Goozer Nation podcast. My name is John Meadows. With me as always, Eric and Nathaniel. How's it going, guys?
It's going.
Going good.
Good, good. All right, well, we're going to hop right into it this week like we always do. Find out what's going on, what everybody's playing. Eric, let's start with you. Tell us about your PS4
escapades. Well, the first PS4 I bought a week ago from Best Buy kept randomly shutting itself off every 10 to 20 minutes. That's could be in the weird. Middle of Assassin's Creed 4.
Wow.
Could have been downloading something. Could have been playing Rezogun. It would just hard lock, reboot. So I reformatted it, did a bunch of other stuff, chatted with Sony support, spent like an hour and a half. Said, screw it. Taking it back to Best Buy. They took it without a question. They did not have any in stock, though. So in some ways, maybe I should have gone through Sony. But lucky me, a couple days later, good old Twitter said, hey, GameStop and Target have them in stock. Called my GameStop a mile from my house. They said, yeah, we have them. I went over there.
That's
watched
cool.
Watched the new guy fumble with all of my gift credit. I paid for it completely, 100% in credit, and I still have plenty left.
That's awesome.
Took it home, fired it up, Assassin's Creed 4, played 4 hours of it yesterday. Everything works like a dream.
What do you think of it?
It's amazing. It's really, really good looking. I would say it's probably on par with at least a mid-range gaming PC.
Oh, yeah, at least.
I mean, Nathaniel, of course, he plays it on PC, so he would say he might disagree, but at least I didn't say it's on par with a high-end PC. No, right. I would say mid-range gaming PC. Maybe. You know, it looks good.
Yeah, it does.
It's definitely going to look good, especially on, you know, again, people forget a lot is that you're playing this on a TV, and normally you're not going to be, you know, a foot away from your TV, you're going to be back on the couch. So it's going to look just fine. Well, your eyesight's going to go away soon.
If it hasn't already. 2 inches, my eyes are bleeding. No, I got this. I got a 24-inch Samsung monitor with like a.
Oh yeah, I mean that's more like a PC monitor size. Anyway, it's not like, you know, a big 80-inch TV that you're sitting right next to.
It actually has a really great, has a really good refresh time too, which I was really surprised by, because, you know, TVs, that's not one of the things they tote. So
yeah. Right. Well, looks good. And I've hooked my PlayStation 4 up to my 24-inch, and Nathaniel's right, it does look a whole lot different on a 24-inch than it does on like a 52-inch. I mean, it looks good on a 52-inch, don't get me wrong, but when you're on a 24-inch and you're setting a little closer to it, you're like, man, that looks really good.
Well, it's also just a difference between the monitors and pixel size between
I was curious, like, how it looked, you know, it was very hard to find a 24 to 26 inch TV with 1080p with more than one HDMI port. I almost got a 720p TV, but I was worried that I would. I don't know if I could probably tell the difference, but I'm sure like one of you guys with a better trained eye could be like, oh, yes. You can see in the 720p the pixels. And like, oh, okay. I get it now. The lines. I don't know.
I don't know either. I have not seen the PlayStation.
It would still look fun. It just wouldn't be quite as sharp.
Okay. Yeah. There we go. So that's my question I was looking for.
I'm sure. Because there's no way you can. Well, I don't know. You might be able to go in. You might be able to go in and manually say, don't do 1080p, do 720p. Yeah, but I haven't. I was going to say, I haven't messed with it, so.
Well, I do that on my PS3. I set it to never output 1080 because my TV doesn't have. It has 1080i, I think, is how high it goes.
Well, that's all right. 95% of every game on the PlayStation 30 well, is yeah, not in, t- in 1080 anyway.
Yeah, there's that. If I have my TV switches, you know, the type of input, which is annoying when I'm watching cable all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It will, you know, flash the screen really quick and to the while it's switching
right.
Resolutions or whatever. So if I'm watching, it happens a lot when you're watching cable and the commercials, like this commercial will be 1080i, this will be 720p, and it'll switch. It's like,
See, mine doesn't do that. Stuff. It just stays 1080i the whole time, but the box doesn't switch it.
I don't know if it's just something to do with the way my cable box just like switches it. I could tell it I should just bother to go say, hey, cable box, only do this output. That'd probably fix it.
Yeah, you may be right.
I'm lazy. I just don't watch TV enough for it to really matter. It's
right.
Like if I watch a TV, it's Netflix or something anyway. So
yeah.
Every time it happens, like, oh, I should change that and then forget about it.
Yeah, I understand that. I don't mess with it anymore. It's just 1080p and I let it go. You know, if it does 1080p, great. If it doesn't, whatever. That's like with this Elgato thing, that streamer thing that I have, because it does HDMI out. This is the weird thing, is when you hook it up to the PlayStation 3, actually it comes with a cable to hook it up to the AV cable port. So it thinks it's HDMI, or it thinks it's component cables, but it still goes through the box with that AC cable or AV cable, but it comes out HDMI. So it's kind of weird, but it still thinks it's component cable. So there's an adapter that you can buy for like $10 that lets you hook up any game console. So it just has the red, yellow, white, and the S video cable. So I'd be anxious to see hooking it up and then running it through that, because it'll come out, it'll go in S video, but it'll come out HDMI. So I wonder how the old game consoles would look on a TV like that, running it that way.
They'd look all right, but they wouldn't be really any better just because right. You're not upgrading your connection. They're still only outputting whatever they used to output.
Right. It's just really weird, though, how they get around that. But you'd think that Sony would just go, fine, we're going to take the DMR or whatever the heck they call it off so you can run HDMI through it. But whatever. Still serves its purpose. But, you know, TVs are funny when it comes to resolution, and it all depends on what's going on. The DirecTV box that we have, it seems to regulate it pretty well, because like I said, it doesn't flip back and forth between resolutions. It always just stays 1080i.
Yeah.
So
well, you can definitely go into the settings on those things and change it, so it's like, hey, I only want it to be this resolution.
Right.
And when you do that, it probably just outputs it at that no matter what, and it'll do some upscaling or downscaling.
Yeah, maybe.
Just to make sure that it's outputting the same thing all the time.
And I guess maybe it depends on the feed, too.
Yeah. You definitely get different feeds, because you get some of your like major networks will put out 1080i, or every once in a while, like sporting events or something, will do 1080p. But since those are such high bandwidth, you don't get those as often.
Right. Yeah, like I know on DirecTV, the only thing that I know of that they have regularly that's 1080p is the pay-per-view movies. You can rent them in 1080p, but since I never do that.
Which, that works because you have to pay for it.
Right,
and
exactly.
So they can afford to, you know, push that through, but if it's just regular crap TV, they don't want to spend the money on that.
Right, yeah. It'll be interesting. I ordered a Chromecast today.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
$35?
Actually,
that's the little thing you plug in the side of your TV?
Yeah.
Yep, $3.99.
Actually, they're $29.99 on Amazon today.
Cool.
They're $30. So I'll have it Wednesday. I'm anxious to try it out. So
cool.
I'll let you know how that goes, because I'm hoping maybe since it'll run things on the TV through the Chrome browser, which is what I use all the time. I'm hoping maybe I can stream NFL Sunday Ticket that way to it, or stuff like that, instead of hooking up the iPad to it like I always do. So worth a try, though.
Yeah, I think, you know, for $30 or $35, I'd be willing to screw around with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it supports Plex and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. That's something new, which I'm not real familiar with Plex. I've never used it before.
Pretty much acts as a media server.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, that's cool.
So you can stream stuff from your PC. There's some other cool apps, too. And we have a Roku, and I barely use that. So
My mother-in-law ditched cable back in the summer, and that's what we got her, was a Roku, so she could have something. You know, she usually watches Netflix all the time. So, and I know this because on Roku, it doesn't accept the profiles like it does on the Xbox and stuff, so she's always just in the main profile, so I see everything she watches. So it screws up my feed. But so what do you think of the PlayStation overall?
It's nice. It's faster. Getting to the store and stuff's way quicker. There's not a lot on there.
Now, do you leave yours on standby all the time? Or?
No, I just shut it off.
Oh, okay. See, I use mine on standby, so I can use remote play or my controller.
Okay, so if you're using remote play, can you just use it on standby, or does it still boot up and run? It still boots up and runs.
Yes, right? It still boots up and runs. So, I mean, it'll still, the screen would pop up if you had it, like, on a dedicated channel, you'd just be moving around with the Vita in another room. And there's actually two different remote plays to use. You can use it through your router, where it'll go through the internet, or you can direct link it to the PlayStation 4. And I didn't realize that. And it works out with the PlayStation 3 too. I never even knew it. The other day when I was setting up something on the Wi-Fi, it came up and it said PlayStation 3, blah 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 blah, and PlayStation 4, blah blah blah. I'm like, what the crap is that? And the PlayStation 4 has its own little Wi-Fi, so the Vita goes to it. So. Yeah, it's like a ad hoc or whatever you call it, a direct link, but it's through the Wi-Fi. So, Rezogun, have you played it yet?
Yeah, it's cool. That's it's fun.
It's like an old school shooter. I like it a lot. I like it.
It's cool. It's once I figure out how to save the people, I was like, oh, this is how.
Yeah, that's the trick at first, because you're like, wait a minute, I got to save people? What's this?
You're like, what? Yeah. I just like powering up. I feel like I'm that's playing like a 90s shooter, maybe.
Is it Defender? Is that the old school game?
Yep. I really like the. I would consider that almost a shmup, and I like shmups, but I'm not very good at them.
So. I love them. They're one of my favorites, but yeah, I'm not. Depending on which one it is, I'm not very good at it. But Rezogun, I'm okay at. I think I've only beat like one level, but I haven't played it a whole lot. But yeah, it's pretty cool. The only thing I've been playing is Assassin's Creed. That's the only thing that I played this week. And I find myself playing it. All I do is get on the boat all day. And this was Friday night, and I swear I started at like 10 o'clock and I finished at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I did not do one story thing the whole time. I was just going around on the boat, blowing up boats, taking them, putting them in my fleet, and then trashing them to get the jewels so I could save up and buy more docks for boats. Nice. And yeah, I mean, I spent like 5 hours doing that the other night, and it never got old. There's a shark. Let me go whaling, or let me kill the shark. Let me do it.
I haven't gotten that far. I just got my boat, and I just got to the first island and stuff. So.
I just finished up the fourth or the fifth section. I just got my diving bell. That's how
maybe far I'm not.
I don't have that yet.
I don't know. Yeah. The naval combat to me. People are going to not like this. I don't know. Sometimes it feels a little bit off, like wonky to me. But that's just me, because I never played the third game. So maybe it's just me getting used to everything.
I don't know. Well, I think this feels better.
You have to look at the right spots on the side of the boat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And two, once you get a couple of the extra weapons that you don't start out with, it's a lot more open as far as choices of what you have. Because you have some stuff that works long distance and close.
Right.
And if I'm boarding a ship, if I'm swinging under a rope to board a ship, I'd severely damaged, kind of hop off the rope to assassin somebody, like drop down and attack somebody, or just hop off.
What I do is if I get, you know, my health gets too low, I'll hop back over on my ship and I just chill for a little while. Here's what I like to do, and I don't know how you do it. I sit on the side and take pot shots at people with the gun. Well, first with the big cannon gun, I soften them up because you get 5 shots with it. And then I sit there, and now I got 4 pistols, and I got the max pouches, so I think I got like 30 bullets. So I'll just sit there and go boom, 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 boom with the pistols. And most of the time, I kill everybody, or I kill the required amount of people before I even before they pull the ship all the way over and start boarding it.
Yeah, I can do that with just the side gun usually on like the tiny boats. Now if you get the bigger boats, you have all the extra objectives to
especially do. The ones with the guys, the snipers way up in the top of the ship that you have to go. Those are a pain sometimes, because you get up there.
They're kind of fun though. You start on your ship and climb up your mast and run across that way.
Right.
And run across the rigging, get up there, kill one guy. Then they usually have a hook.
Right.
That's close that you can go directly down, or if you're close enough, you can just air assassinate down to the ground and then climb up the next one, kill the other guy.
Or if you're like me, you run across, you get halfway across and shot in the face, and you fall all the way down into the water. And then you have to climb back up and do it all
over. Your sneaking skills need work.
I know. It sometimes it doesn't happen very often, but it was like the other night I just kept falling. It was like, what the heck? Oh my gosh. But yeah, I mean, that was all I did. I was like, oh, here's a whale, let me go get it. Oh, here's a boat, let me blow it up. Oh, my wanted level is up to 3. I better go pay somebody so I don't.
Yeah. I just met a bunch of assassins and they just gave me the blow dart. Is kind of where I am.
The blow dart is awesome. I love using that blow dart, especially using the ones that make them go crazy, the berserker darts. Oh my gosh.
It's no different than stuff you've had before, but just the blow dart itself looks fun because it's very, you know, it fits the theme of this game very well.
Yeah, it does. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, I'm going to have a hard time with this game, like finishing it and stuff. And I didn't like the first one. I like Brotherhood. I didn't like the first one. I didn't like the second one. I almost gave up on the series, but I got Brotherhood Review, so I played it, and I really liked it. I tried Revelations, but I didn't really like it because I had trouble making money. In Brotherhood, I had no problem with the funds, but in Revelations, it's a lot harder, and I got it for, like, less than $20, so I played, like, maybe...
You did it wrong, then, because, man, Revelations just rolls you in the money compared to Brotherhood.
That's true.
See, in Brotherhood, I had no problem with the money in recruiting assassins and stuff like that. I bought the third one for under $20. Thank you, Black Friday, and it sat on my shelf. It sat on my shelf. I never played it. And it got traded away.
I liked the third one. I thought it was all right. I had no issues.
And that's another thing. Like, what made you like Brotherhood, but you didn't like Assassin's Creed 2? Because they're very similar.
What I didn't... Okay. I had a very hard time in the first one with the combat, like learning to parry and counter.
Yeah. Right.
In the second one, I still had problems with that, and I didn't like in the second one as well as the first one, like the running and climbing mechanics. It really bothered me. For some reason in Brotherhood, I got a hang of it, and I liked it. And I tried to go back and play, too, and it just didn't work for me. So I don't know if there was something...
They didn't change anything, really, about the climbing between Brotherhood.
In Brotherhood, I was like, the combat. I love the combat. And I like Assassin's Creed 4. Combat's perfect. I have no problem cutting down and countering people and shooting them.
They've definitely, like, had plenty of time to polish it. They've got, like, even if they add or change a thing here or there, it's... pretty much got their formula down by this point.
Okay.
And they have bonus content too if you have it on PS4 too, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And
I haven't got to it. I think it's an
isn't
hour
that the
of the
side
liberation.
Mission of, like, the girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I played a little bit of it.
Oh, see, I haven't played it yet.
You can shoot stuff.
Right. Yeah. See, the new DLC comes out tomorrow. The single player DLC. Where you play the one guy. Pass. Yeah, I did.
Let's see if it's actually any good, because most of the Assassin's Creed DLC is not very good.
Yeah, what was for the third one? Was any of that good?
Never played it.
You know what? I played the first two of it, and then there was like 3 single-player ones, and I played the first one, and it was kind of weird. I played the second one, and I'm like, okay, this is just... I don't get it. And then the third one came out, and I downloaded it, but I never played it.
Wow. I just didn't even bother because of the ones from Assassin's Creed 2 and Brotherhood just were not nearly as good as the main game.
Yeah.
Like, the Assassin's Creed 2 thing was kind of interesting because it sort of put in 2 missing segments of memory segments or whatever.
Yeah, but you
kind
of felt like...
when you played the main game. But then when you played it, you're like, I liked it better when they were there.
Well, when I played it, it was kind of like, why wasn't this in the game to begin with? I kind of feel ripped off.
There's that. It was kind of but the missions itself were kind of okay.
Yeah.
They weren't nearly as good as the rest of it.
This one...
So it's kind of like with DLC with Assassin's Creed, I'm just kind of like, they're not terrible, but it's not like you'd go telling anybody, this is the best example of DLC, you've got to play it.
Yeah.
Kind of like for like a Borderlands or something where it's like, put a lot of time into it, and it's really, really good. Or,
Metro Last Light DLC. I'll put that up there as some of the best DLC.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really good stuff out there. Assassin's Creed's kind of in the middle. It's like, they do okay, but it's not anything you need to play.
Right.
And I think the last piece of Last of Us DLC is going to be single player.
It is, and I'll buy it.
The multiplayer stuff is kind of like... I mean, I bought the season pass, and I feel kind of dumb. I should just held out and just bought the single player stuff, because the first multiplayer pack, I was like, eh.
Yeah. I don't usually buy the season passes, but if it says... You know, if two or three of the 4 or 5, depending on how many downloads you get with it, is going to be single player content, I go ahead and buy it. Not that I don't play it online, but, you know, it's like, well, I really don't need the stuff for the online. I just would soon have the single player stuff. But I'll find out, because I'll let you know. Because, I mean, it sounds like an interesting concept, because you play as the first mate of the ship. What's his name? The black guy. I can't remember his name now. Daggone it. But anyway, apparently you go...
The dude on the boat?
Yeah, the dude on the boat.
It starts with an A.
Yeah, it starts with an A, but I can't remember what it's called. But anyway, you go back and to the slavers and you free your family is what it is. It's all about that. So,
cool.
That actually sounds interesting.
Yeah, it does. So... We'll find out. I'll play it. I'm going to try to play it while I'm off on vacation. Cause
you can be the guinea pig.
Yeah. That's all right. I don't mind being the guinea pig. That's okay. But yeah, what was I going to say? Something else. How's Battlefield, Nathaniel? I know you've been playing Assassin's Creed, but I'm sure you've been playing Battlefield too.
I haven't had a lot of time to play games this week, so I've only played Assassin's Creed and Battlefield, a little bit of each.
The patch came out.
I hadn't played anything over the whole weekend. Yeah, they had a new patch for Battlefield 4 come out today, actually. I downloaded it, but I haven't played.
Mm. I got to check the PS4. It automatically...
They actually had two patches out today. They had a server and a client patch for PC Battlefield today.
I know they had one on the PlayStation 4 the other day, because when I turned it on, it came on and said that it had downloaded it. So
that's one thing that, like, yes, it sucks that there's so many issues with this game, but at least this time around they're able to fix it, and Microsoft and Sony are not getting in the way like with Battlefield 3.
That's a good thing.
You gotta pay.
We've already put out more patches now for Battlefield 4 than probably Battlefield 3's entire lifetime almost, because there was a couple that were outside of DLC, but otherwise it was like kind of like, hey, here's a big patch with DLC.
Well, there used to be so many hoops they had to jump through, especially Microsoft. Yep. It always had to be part of their... They always had to go through, kind of like what Apple does. It had to be approved by Microsoft.
We still have that to a point, but there's also the like money issue that it was on last time around, that it costs so much to put out patches that it's just like, we can only do it so often.
All right.
Kind of to make it worthwhile for the company to do it. This time around, though, there's new policies and other stuff in place, I guess, that kind of makes it easier to patch stuff. So they've been cranking them out pretty much on all the platforms, which is good.
Yeah, that's always nice.
But Battlefield 4, I've been doing the other day, I was unlocking a few weapons that are done by assignment. Some of the China Rising ones that are like, I was doing ones where you have to do these things where like get these three things all in one round, and those are sometimes stressful, but mostly it was a lot of fun. So it's like, get a C4 kill, a sniper kill, and a shotgun kill, or whatever, all in one round. I forget exactly what they are without having it in front of me.
Right.
And then, you know, you'll unlock... They were all weapon ones, were the ones I was going for. They have some other ones as well.
Yeah.
A couple gadgets, dog tags, all that fun stuff.
Cool. I need to play it. It's just sad that I bought it, and it's just kind of sit there on the shelf. I just haven't messed with it.
It's like the one I had the most fun with was, let's see, I had to get a defib kill, an assault, or a pistol kill, and, what is it? Oh, a grenade launcher kill, all in one life. One life would be terrible.
So I was going to say, oh my gosh.
They did have, and I think there's one of those around this time, I forget, but I know there was one that was like one of the achievements in Battlefield 3 for the first DLC, the Karkan stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, get a jet kill, an assault rifle kill, and something else, all in one life. And that was terrible to get.
Yeah, that's...
Especially if you're not great in jets. It's like, you spend most of the round trying to get a jet kill, and then when you finally do it, you drop down and you kill a guy with the rifle, and you have the last thing, like the pistol or whatever it was, and you just miss out on getting the guy, and you're like, oh, so close.
Maybe they'll have another bug again, like in... Yeah, on the PlayStation Store, I'll be able to get all the Battlefield 4 DLC for free like I did with Battlefield 3. I mean, did I say that out loud? Man.
You got to let me know if that comes out. Yeah, I remember that.
I barely played any of it. That's the worst
part. Yeah, I did too, and I hardly ever played it.
Does this mean I'll ever go back to Battlefield 3? Probably not, because I checked.
I wish that places like studios and things would do it more like how they did in Bad Company 2. And some other games where it's like, okay, you get all the maps, so everybody will have all the maps.
Right.
Because the way they're doing it now, you buy it, which is cool for them selling stuff, but it's bad for playing it because it just splinters the player base so much. You have all the people who just have the main game, and then you have people who have all the DLC because they bought, you know, the whole season pass or premium in this case. And they have people who just piecemeal buy, oh, this DLC looks cool, I'll buy these maps, but not those. And so it... If you're playing with a group of friends that all has different stuff, can make it a little bit interesting to find a server other than just, you know, okay, well, we're stuck playing all vanilla stuff.
Well,
can't play any of the new ones because, you know, Joe over here doesn't have it.
And the thing is with me, the when it first comes out.
But all games are like that.
Yeah.
So,
well, it's just hard for me because.
Monetize it differently. Like, put all the maps where people can play on the maps and have those as updates, but have other stuff like you're adding in the weapons, you have to pay for that or something. I don't know exactly a great way to do it, but that way, you know, it's. Everybody has all the maps to play on. You don't have to worry about all that. It's just like, hey, just join a server and play.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, with me, usually I don't buy, like, Battlefield the first, when it first comes out, because I usually get so bored with it that I don't stick with it long enough to justify spending another $50 on a season pass. Mm-hmm. And then I just wait for the Game of the Year edition or whatever to come out, but then usually by that time everybody's so far ahead of me, it's like, well, I get played because I'm just going to get slaughtered, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing in Battlefield 4 that I don't think is going to be an issue because of the battle pack stuff that they've got. Mm-hmm. They could, and they probably will, whenever a Game of the Year edition comes out, they'll be like, hey, and you get so many battle packs when you start to help give you, you know, a leg up, and then also you unlock all the battle packs as you play. Right. They give you the XP boosts that you can turn on so that you unlock stuff faster, which is kind of like a lot of my friends are complaining, you know, all the people who are hardcore into it and play hours and hours and hours and hours with this game all the time. They're all like, we're going to reach max rank way too fast, and a few of them already have gotten there. It's a lot quicker than Battlefield 3 was to get to the very top of the ranks. So it's, especially with all the boosts and everything, but even if you never use them, you still get there. Couldn't get there pretty quickly.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So it's kind of like, I think they tried to find a balance, because I think that a lot of the sort of casual players, or just kind of people who would play it a lot but not like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so make it appeal.
Battlefield 3 was too long, so they tried to make it faster, but they might have gone maybe a little bit too far to make it too fast. Who knows? I'm sure that's one of those things that gives designers headaches. Well, like, how fast do we let people rank up? How, you know, difficult should it be to unlock all these things? And I definitely wouldn't want to try and figure all that out.
No, I wouldn't either.
You know what's totally random?
Hmm.
I have to tell you.
What's up?
$5 for Medal of Honor Warfighter.
Yeah, I saw that on
360. It's got co-op. Yeah.
Not worth
it's
it.
$5. I played the beta. I could stomach it with some co-op action.
Not worth it.
Nah.
You shut your pie hole.
If they paid you $5 for it, then maybe.
Okay.
Like, here, have the game, and we'll give you $5. Please play it.
Yay.
Because I think I had that. I think I bought that on a sale one time and never even
played it. I played Medal of Honor, but not Medal of Honor Warfighter. It's probably, you're probably right. It probably sucks.
Yeah.
I played the beta, or whatever, the free beta of Warfighter, and I had a bunch of friends that I play with that played the game, and none of them made it past, like, a week.
A review on Amazon says, if you really feel the need to spend money, don't buy this game. Yeah, thanks, EA.
That's a great review right there.
What a ringing endorsement,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and if any of our listeners are interested, the Asus T100 64GB convertible tablet / laptop is on sale on Tiger Direct for $275 right now, which is a great price considering I paid with taxes over $400 for mine.
Wow. That is a good price, then. Wow. That's nice.
This could turn into the deal show pretty soon.
Oh, well. Well, let's go ahead and get started with the news. Not too much going on this week. There's some good stories out there. One, I don't know if you guys listen to the PlayStation blogcast or not, but Jack Trenton was on there this past episode, and he denied rumors that Sony was causing artificial shortages of the PlayStation 4. That there is actually a shortage of them, and I could believe that, because I was out this weekend. We went to 3 or 4 different stores picking up different things, and every one of them I walked through the electronics department just to see what they had. Every store I went to had tons of Xbox Ones.
That's crazy.
They had no PlayStation 4s and no Wii U's. Now,
What? The last one?
Yeah, they were sold out of. Yeah, I went to Target.
People want their Mario.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that's it.
I think the new Mario game is really selling the Wii U right now. I was surprised not to find a Wii U, though. I did not see one single Wii U. And I went to Target, BJ's, Best Buy, and Walmart.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, okay, so they buy it, yay, everybody loves Mario, and then nothing comes out for like 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't care.
Yeah, they've already got the system.
I care. A lot of people buying it, they don't care. Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you, I
you
would
consider,
care. Oh, I know. I would too.
One. I would consider getting one for under if it was $200.
Yeah.
I would at least consider it and then sell my Wii.
Yeah. I've been thinking hard about it. You know, with the Zelda and the Mario, I'm like, that's close. And I like Monster Hunter. And there was somebody had Monster Hunter pretty cheap for it too at one point. I think it was like $15 or $20. And I was
All the other games that are on the other consoles, like, hey, you know, you can get Injustice on the Wii U. Now I'm going to play it on the
other systems. Yeah, of course.
Sorry.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is this generation of gaming systems, I really got to sit down and look at how much time I actually have to play these days. You know, back when I had the Xbox, when the 360 and PlayStation 3 was out, I had a lot more time to play games. So I had the Wii, the PlayStation 3, the Xbox 360, and had tons of games to play for each of them. Now it's kind of like, well, I hardly have time to sit down and play my PlayStation 4 and what PlayStation 3 games I have here recently, you know, much less add another system with two or three games to it, plus the PC, you know, what I've got on PC that I haven't played. But, you know, I wondered if Sony was holding back consoles. Now, he did say that they did hold back 12,000 consoles that they gave to Amazon when they had the whole, right after they had the whole debacle with that. But they sold out in like 27 minutes, just 12,000 consoles to Amazon.
Wow.
And I know Amazon had some up today for a short period of time. And the other day when you were when you took yours back to Best Buy, and I saw on Twitter that you said, if anybody sees any, I actually saw somebody tweeted out, Amazon has them. By the time I clicked on it and tweeted you back, they were gone.
They were
gone. Yeah, they were just gone.
No, I know GameStop had a fair amount, and it was in and out, you know, outside of the new employee. Got to give the guy props. He was probably intimidated. Just kidding. But, it was not too bad. You know, it was better than Best Buy where I stood in line for, you know, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want to buy anything else. Just give me the damn console.
Right. Well, you know, and I wonder if maybe some of the stores are holding back PlayStation 4s.
Maybe. Well, the thing about Best Buy was they couldn't tell me when they were going to have them in again. It was, you'll just have to call us.
Right.
I'm like, I can't check online? No, and can't give you an email or text alert. I'm like, oh.
See, that's just dumb.
That's BS.
It's called, they can, but they don't want to.
Right.
That's laziness and poor customer service. There, I said it.
Burn. Oh.
Well, the other thing is, here we go. Best Buy, little Best Buy rant. I have credit there, but I have the hardest time spending it because most of the time the trade-in values stink.
Right.
I get more on Amazon or GameStop. Two, their deals, usually, especially on used stuff or even on new games, it's really hard to find something that comes along that I want most of the time.
Well, and if it's like my Best Buy, the Best Buys around here, they've emptied out a lot of their games. They don't have a whole lot around here anymore. They cleared out a bunch of spot for Xbox One and PlayStation 4, and everything else kind of went to the wayside, and they ain't got crap even for those two things. They didn't even have games on the shelf at the Best Buy I was at. They just had boxes with pictures in it and said, if you want this game, it's up at the counter. I'm like, really?
Yeah. I'm here to buy a washer and dryer. Thank you very much.
Yeah, really? I mean, geez.
Just use your Best Buy credit to get Amazon Kindle cards.
Yeah.
I thought about that, actually. That's
one.
Just like I did.
I was going to say,
she's like, buy it at GameStop. Don't buy it at Amazon so you can use that credit for other things. I was like, okay.
Well, you never know. You know, your refrigerator may go bad or you may need a washer or something. True. I mean,
can I put this on my rewards? Just count for my rewards.
Yeah.
Can I get some certs back?
I think when I was at Best Buy, there's perhaps more tablets than there are games.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they have so many tablets there. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's where I took my wife.
Here's our 15,000 versions of Kindle Isle. Here's our 15,000 versions of the iPad Isle.
Well,
the rest of the ones.
Now they have this Windows, you know, this Windows 8 section, and it's nothing but tablets
Apple section. Apple section, the Windows section.
Google section.
Blah, blah, section. It's
crazy. It's like,
they're making their stores more Apple Store-esque over time. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, they don't want you to window shop.
No.
They don't want you to go in and be like, ooh.
Well, they stock less products in the store, but have more pretty displays and things. It's kind of the way they've been going with Best Buy over the last, you know, several years. So it used to be you could go in there and they'd have several types of, you know, PC parts or, you know, several games or several whatever you're looking for. Now it's a lot less of things.
Right. You're right about that. I mean, let's see. It's been 2 years since I worked at Best Buy, and it's changed a lot in 2 years.
Yeah, they got to stay competitive.
Well, yeah, they used to even have like the little desk in the back in the game section mm-hmm. for where you could do trade and stuff. They don't have that anymore.
No, they took it out.
They still have one. Nobody's ever there. You have to go around and find somebody.
They probably don't have it, or they will be getting rid of it soon because they had it in ours till recently, yep. and they got rid of it, which is annoying because it was always a lot faster to go back there and do game trade.
Oh yeah,
and the guy knows what he's talking about. The people at the front desk. They don't know.
Yeah, and you got to go in customer service, and you got to stand in line, and because there's always a line at customer service at the Best Buy here anyway. I mean, it's always a pain. So
it's terrible.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. You know, if only they had a Circuit City or somebody to give them some competition like they used to.
Oh, wait, they used to. Circuit City died.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Best Buy is probably going to die out, too, before too long. Because when I was in Best Buy...
Well, it's mostly for their prices. Like, well, people can buy... If they don't, even if they don't know a whole lot, they can look at Amazon and look at Best Buy. Oh, this is the same thing. It's cheaper. Well, I'll get it on Amazon.
Here's what a lot of people were doing. And I was... You know, a lot of the guys that work at the Best Buy here was working there when I was there. So I went and got a car stereo put in. My truck when I started my new job because I was going to be in the truck a lot, so I wanted one with a USB so I could listen to my iPhone. And so while they were installing it, I was over in the video game section and the TV section talking to the guys. I'm like, so how's business? And they're like, oh, it's kind of crappy because everybody comes in and does all the window shopping and comes in and gets all the information from us, and then they go home and buy the TV on Amazon.
Like suckers.
Yeah, so I'm like, yeah, well, what are they going to do someday when nobody's here to tell them what TV, you know, is good and that stuff, you know, because, you know, you're not going to get that.
Well, I mean, that's good. Even if you're not talking to anybody, you can actually see them
yeah.
and what they look like compared to a bunch of other ones sitting there, and then you're like, okay, I do think of this is the one I want to
yeah.
get. I've done that.
Oh, I've done that before, too. But, you know, what's going to happen is someday Best Buy is going to be gone, you're going to have Walmart, you're going to have yep. Target, and those people at those two places aren't going to know anything about TVs or anything like that, and then you're going to go to Amazon and try to buy something. And I don't know. I mean, I like the big box stores to a point, but at the same time, I know they're probably going to go away at some point too. Especially when Amazon starts their little drone delivery service. I can't wait for that. I'm going to order.
Yeah, I don't think they can deliver TVs though.
No, but I can get my Xbox game in 30 minutes or less.
Yeah, but give it at least 10 years, and then we'll have the big rig drones.
Oh, see, yeah.
And they can deliver big stuff. Yeah,
like the big pod trucks.
Helicarriers coming by.
Yeah, those big helicopters with the big pod things in them. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And just drop it in your front yard. Leave a crater.
It's all right. It still works.
Worth it.
Yeah, really. I don't have to go to Walmart and talk to anybody. So.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, it was announced today that Minecraft is coming out on PlayStation 3 tomorrow.
Yay.
I have no idea how much it's going to cost. I'm going to guess $20. That's what it was on the 360, I think, wasn't it? If I remember right.
Yes, that is what it was on 360 and still is as far as I know.
Yeah, so I figure this probably would be on PlayStation 3. It is going to come out on PlayStation 4 and Vita sometime in the future. That's all they've said at this point. But, yeah, so there'll be another probably 13 or 14 million copies sold for all those people that haven't played it on PC or some other system.
Like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never played it. I think it would be interesting.
I've got it on PC.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that the PS3 version is going to be just like the 360 version.
I'm sure. I would think.
I don't know. I was trying to look and see if it's the same studio that's doing the port or not.
You know what? That
I can't find that info anywhere. I bet it's someone different because
let's see.
They've probably got their hands full working on the 360 version all the time.
Hmm. Well, it says here, all it says,
but
is,
I don't know.
It, on according to IGN, it says developer is Mojang, so or Mojang or however you say their name.
Mojang, but well, that's Minecraft.
Right.
That's not who's actually does the port.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The part of the reason that the 360 one has done so well is because whoever they picked, I can't remember. It's
like a good job.
Four or something or whatever. They do a really good job with the port.
Yeah.
And like the control scheme that they came up with, which they might have even had some help from Mojang. I don't know, but. That works well, but they've also been able to update it over time a lot
right.
and keep adding in stuff, just like PC Minecraft has all the updates all the time.
Right.
So the fact that they were able to pull that off and kind of like get their special deal with Microsoft, at least to start with, like, hey, we need to be able to update this all the time, which nothing else really done that.
Right. Well,
that's kind of what helped it to be super successful.
Let's see.
Because it helps people come back to it, right, is the thing. You'll play it a lot, and then you'll be like, yeah, I'm kind of bored of it. But then a new big update comes out. I was like, oh, I'm going to boot that up. I still have it on here. Because it's not like it takes up a lot of space on your, you know, hard disk or anything. Right. So,
well, they, you know, on the 13th, they released some sales numbers. 13 million on PC, 10 million on Xbox 360. Let's see. Yeah, that's a lot. I mean, that's a lot. So let's see. At which point, franchise as a whole is top 33 million units. That's including mobile as well. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot. They actually had a sale on the 14th for most of the DLC on the Xbox 360 too. So,
nice.
But yeah, so you know, it's nice to see games like that.
360 is cool because they've added in some, like, I think they've added in texture packs now. Like a couple of them. I don't think there's a lot available. I haven't played it in forever. I just read up on what they keep adding into it.
Yeah.
I got a few friends who still play it on the Xbox.
I want to try it when it comes in on Vita. I think it'd be a cool game to play on the Vita.
I think it would work really well on Vita. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they put any like touch support in there or not. Who knows?
Yeah,
like,
know.
With Vita, you could do kind of a weird combo between the mobile version and kind of the, you know, console version and get some weird hybrid thing.
Right. Yeah, I'd like to see how they do it on the Vita. They haven't come out and said too much about it other than it's coming to the Vita. That's all I've heard.
Yeah. Even if it just controls exactly like it does on PS3 or something, playing it on Vita I think would be fun.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those games that would be fun to just kick back and play, which would be perfect for a handheld.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why I think, you know, selling it for mobile on tablets has done so well, because you can just kick back on the couch and play around with
it. Yeah. But I'll try it out. Hopefully they'll have maybe some kind of cross save between the PlayStation 4 and the Vita or something. That'd be cool. But
it would be nice.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure the PlayStation 4 version will have remote play anyway, even if you don't have the Vita version. So
yeah. Well, they're coming sometime. Who knows when?
Yeah, I'm sure.
In the future.
I'm sure it'll be 2014 sometime, because it was originally supposed to be a launch title for the PlayStation 4, but it didn't for some reason. I don't know why it got delayed. I never heard any specific reason other than it wasn't coming out at launch like they thought. So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it'd be cool to see it on a Vita, though. I think it'd look really nice. Speaking of releases, Valve released the Steam OS this week.
Cool.
Looks kind of cool. Makes me want to build a computer and just run the Steam OS to see how it would run. They did do a detail of the hardware requirements to run it. They're actually calling it Alchemist, is what they call it, is the code name for it.
Of course, because you can't have an operating system without a weird code name.
Yeah, exactly. Of course, it's Linux based. Minimum requirements: AMD 64-bit compatible processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 500 gig hard drive, NVIDIA or AMD graphics cards, or NVIDIA graphics card, AMD and Intel coming soon. UEFI boot support and a USB port for installation. So, don't know anybody who's actually tried it yet. A buddy of mine likes to dual boot systems, so
maybe he'll give it a shot.
Yeah, he might do it. I know he runs a computer with Windows 7 and Vista.
Windows ME.
Yeah.
Why Vista? Why?
He likes some of the things that Vista does. I personally do not.
Then just do 7, because that's what 7 is. Mm-hmm. It's Windows Vista as it should have been without all the stupidness.
Exactly. but I'm hoping maybe he'll dual boot it, and I'd like to see what it's like.
Yeah.
Be cool. Because, you know, it kind of makes me go, well, you know what, maybe I'll build a PC and just put a Steam OS on it. That'd be cool.
I mean, what do you have right now? Just a laptop, or do you have it? No, you have a PC.
Yeah,
right?
I have a PC. Yeah, I've got a desktop. I mean, it's,
at this point, though, it's kind of like, well, we still don't know how much it's going to work.
Exactly.
In the field, how well it would work, so you wouldn't want to do just SteamOS quite yet.
Yeah. Well, and the first batch of Steam boxes are coming out this week, and I put a link in the show notes for the unboxing video.
They even have a guy did a breakdown. He's showing off the controller. He opened up the actual box and showed the insides of it.
Yeah, I mean, it looked really cool. I like the box that they shipped it in, the nice wooden box and everything. So, but yeah.
Well, Valve can afford to do
that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they can. Well,
although, how many? It wasn't that many
like
that they sent
300,
out,
so. Was it? Did I read that somewhere?
Something 300. Like
it
that,
wasn't a whole lot.
So, that's not really, you know, it's several, but for, you know, just 300 for a beta thing, you can afford
fancy
box.
Yeah, nice. Do it real nice and fancy, but yeah, so that's cool. Sure, we'll see a whole lot more on YouTube if they don't strike it down. we'll get into that later. You know, with all their new copyright things coming out, but Oculus Rift raises $75 million in additional investments. Thought that was quite a bit of money.
Yeah, I mean, I think people are really interested in this, and I think 2 years ago at PAX, I had a chance to see it when it was being Kickstartered, and I should have met up with them, but I didn't. But I've heard good things.
Yeah.
Oculus is one of those things that I just think, the more I see about it, I was like, it looks neat, but it's so doomed to fail at this point unless it can be dirt cheap when they sell
that's,
it.
That's,
you think it'll
because
be,
if it's going
really
to be too
expensive,
like
300?
If it's going to be super expensive because some of the stuff they're putting in right now, it just seems like, how can they sell it for, you know, a decent price?
I just,
most people that are going to look at it be like, oh, that's kind of cool, but I don't want to buy it. It'll just be a few enthusiasts get it, but not enough. You know, it could still sell a decent amount, but not enough to make a profit to where it'll stick around and get people to support it. I don't know. I think it's an interesting experiment. There's some cool stuff it can do, but I just don't see how it's going to catch on super well, despite getting all of the visibility on it.
Yeah,
to this point,
and that's, and like you say, it's going to have to be, it's going to have to be cheap, like under 200, maybe.
If they really, it's got to be less than 100. If they really want to sell it, because it's a weird, goofy accessory. It's not like a new console or a new system or something. It's something you plug into something else that you'd already have.
Right.
And, you know, Kinect, semi-successful, but, you know, I don't know. It's one of those things that's, like, got a huge company behind it, too, and that pushed it. Like, they're running uphill as far as that goes, too. So they've gotten a lot of exposure just from what it is and sort of enthusiast press and things, but just Joe Bob down at Walmart never heard of this thing.
Right. Yeah. And I would like to try it out first.
And that's who you need to get it to actually make a profit with all the money they've put into it.
Right. And see, I would have to try it out first because I'm one of those guys that gets real motion sick real easy. And,
yeah, you might not do
And I might not do well with something like that. As cool as it would sound, and I'd love to try it out.
Xbox on.
Yeah.
I'd love to try it out too. It seems cool. It's just like I don't know that I'd want to spend the money on it.
Well, you need to.
I think you
need to find out where Cliffy B lives there in Raleigh and just go knock on his door. He's got one. He tweets about it all the time. Stop by and say, "Hey, let me check this out for a second. Let me play some Minecraft with this one."
Actually, that would be kind of awesome. I think. Uh-huh. But,
I mean, the whole application of it is really cool. I just don't know.
It's one of those things that you can see it and you look like at the potential of it and you're like, yes, it could be cool, but there's so many roadblocks it's going to have to pass before it would become, you know, mainstream or anything like that, which I don't know that it ever will, but it could be successful. I hope it is because it seems like one of those things that you want to root for it because you think it's cool, but you also see all the stuff that's kind of lined up against it.
The first thing I would do if I got one is I'd go to the craft store and I'd get some big googly eyes to put on that box front that you put on your face. So when people look at me, I would just have these two googly eyes instead of seeing this square on my head. But still, you know, to raise that kind of amount of money, there's a lot of, but you know, it's not just gaming people that were investing in it. You know,
I think people are, a lot of people I think are just interested because it's different. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that step towards...
It's not so much that it's different, it's that it's something like virtual reality stuff we've wanted for a long time, but it actually seems like viable this time, where it would actually... It's not like you're in a friggin' Virtual Boy or something.
Right.
You know, it actually seems like, yes, this could work, and it would work really well, or at least has the potential.
Well, and that's what I was going to say. It's taking that step forward to the virtual reality that you always seen in the movies in the 80s, you know. Oh, you know, here in the future, oh, you'll be able to, you know, step into this world and walk around and do all this stuff, you know. And I've seen videos online where they've used the Oculus and they have like this trampoline thing that you can walk on so you can move around, and instead of using a controller to walk, you're actually moving your legs and stuff like that. Of course, mm-hmm. you'd have to be like a friggin' billionaire to own something like that. But, you know, still, it's getting there. Which is closer.
Makes you want to have arcades to come
yeah.
back to have Oculus stations.
Exactly. That sounds perfect to me, but of course then I have to put something that somebody's dirty little face has been in.
True, very true.
Oh, well. And getting back to talking about a little bit about Nintendo, Nintendo has sold 220,000 Wii Us in November. Which is not bad.
Significant.
It's significant. It's not what they... The article that I put a link to, they were actually wanting to sell 9 million by fiscal year of 2014, which at this pace, they're not going to hit it. Nowhere close to it. They're going to have to sell like 2 million a month to hit that, which isn't happening
in
right
order
now.
To do that, they'd have to put out an awesome game yeah. or two every month.
Exactly.
That are all Mario and I don't know.
Still give me work. give me a $250 bundle with two decent good first party Nintendo games and maybe a third party.
Right.
I mean, take the hit and hope that I would buy more stuff down the line.
Well, but it's like we said, you know, Mario Kart's coming out. That's always a big seller if it comes out this year. It's supposed to come out spring.
I was like, 2013's almost over.
No, 2014.
Spring. Maybe they'll do a bundle.
Yeah, and you know, the Donkey Kong game's coming out. Everybody likes the Donkey Kong
Smash
games.
Smash Brothers is yep. supposed to be coming
Smash
out,
Smash Brothers and a
Donkey
new
Kong's
Zelda.
A system seller. Maybe Smash Brothers, Zelda, Mario Kart.
Yeah,
yes.
yeah. News.
And, I don't know, the hardest thing is I don't think there's just the interest in the Wii U that there was in the Wii, and that's the problem.
Well, and it's like, I don't know, I've said it before. You know, the Wii...
It's the GameCube.
It is. Well, the Wii... So many people bought the Wii that don't usually buy video game systems. Like I said, my brother owns a Wii, and he hasn't owned a video game system since the Atari days. So when the Wii U come out, well, what do I need the Wii U for? I have a Wii. You know, he doesn't play games, so he doesn't... You know, why do I need to upgrade? It's not like a computer. Well, it kind of is, but, you know, this is why... They just didn't give anybody a justification to upgrade to their Wii U other than the fact that they quit making Wii games.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's a weird thing. I want to get a Wii U sometime. Give me another $50 price drop on it.
Yeah, I was Bayonetta 2, I was kind of interested in getting a Wii U for that, but I guarantee you down the line, no matter what people say, that system's gonna come out. The game will come out on.
Yeah, it eventually will. I'm sure it'll come out on PS4 or Xbox One. I'm sure it will. I'll be shocked if it doesn't. Of course.
But isn't Nintendo publishing that?
Mm.
I'm pretty sure that's the other way they got that, is that Nintendo was publishing it this time.
Well, it could be.
So
yeah,
if it did, it will take a long time. Something like, you know, Resident Evil 4 was out for a year right. or a little over, at least, before it moved everywhere
You may
else.
Be right.
So it still might come, but it might have to wait.
You might be right, because, you know, Sega and Nintendo went together with this partnership, and that may be what it is. Sega will produce the games, and Nintendo will publish them.
Nintendo will censor it and then publish it?
No.
Hey, that's funny, because that's true. You know,
with Bayonetta, they'll just have to, like, not put it out.
They're like, we need to keep it family-friendly.
That ain't happening.
No, that is not. This.
Even though it's going to cost us money.
That game, the first one, was so awesome because of how over-the-top. Mm-hmm. Well, like, one, it was a really fun action game, has some cool controls, but it has so many over-the-top, crazy, in-your-face, stupidly offensive moves in there.
Yeah, you're right.
I still have that for PS3, disc only. I should fire it up. I hear it's the worst on the PS3, though.
Yeah, I haven't.
Like, frame rate.
I played it on Xbox, I think. I think it was Xbox I played it on.
Yeah, I played it on 360 when I played it. Played it all the way, beat the game. That it's almost a perfect progression in that game, because it starts out kind of crazy, keeps getting crazier all the way up to the end, to the where it's like the most over-the-top crazy end to that game. Yeah. It's so Japanese, it's not even funny.
It's so Japanese.
It is. It's like so crazy.
I never got
There's no way they'd ever make it anywhere outside of Japan.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Speaking of Japanese games, now we're getting even more off topic. Shadows of the Damned. I love that game.
Shadows of the Damned. Shadows of the Damned. Why can't I?
Oh, come on.
Why can't I remember that game? Hang on.
Grass. That's the one with the talking pistol thing or something.
Yes, oh, yes, okay, yes, okay, okay.
And it's like dark, and there's a lot of like crazy mature nuts. And I hear that since I like that one, I would like Killer is Dead.
Yeah, I don't. Killer is Dead is.
I would not know.
Didn't you get
yes,
that?
Yes, I did. And it's very, very weird.
Like No More Heroes weird?
Yeah. I would put it online there. I'm trying to look. I never played
Shadows of the Damned is pretty. You need to get it. If you can get it for less than 20, you need to get it and play it. It is good.
Okay.
You'll like the story. You'll like the action. It plays well.
Now that I see it, I remember it. I had to look at the cover of it to see what it was. Fun. I haven't played it.
It was. I think I got it through Gamefly, and it was one of those games that I like pretty much played like a week's worth of it, and I was like, this game's amazing. Yeah. You're never going to go back to it, but I was like, wow, they really, it's fun.
Yeah, I would say, just looking at the screenshots of it, yeah, Killer is Dead's about like that. I mean, like the first level of the Killer is Dead was Allison.
Aren't there lots of inappropriate things in that game?
Yeah. Just, I mean,
bingo! I mean,
in the first level was all like an Alice in Wonderland level. It was really weird.
There was in Shadows of the Damned, there was lots of, it was, you know, keeping the show family friendly, but there was a lot of stuff in there where I was like, whoa, this is definitely a Japanese game.
And it was way too late at night for me to be playing a game that weird. I was just way too tired. It was just like, I don't understand what's going on. I'm
have GameStop too. I wonder if I get it. It's the LE, the limited edition. I wonder what it comes with. Do you know?
The limited edition of Killer is Dead? Yeah, because that's what I got. Soundtrack, art book, DLC. And it's in a real nice box. Now, my local GameStop, I was in it today, and one of the local GameStops here, they have it for $19.99, and they had the limited edition because it was up on the wall.
Okay, maybe I'll go this weekend.
And I don't know if Amazon, I got mine from Amazon, and it came, if you order it from Amazon and it's over, it's a pound and a half, it's the limited edition. Because it's a real nice slip case box. It's really nice. I like it. I like it a lot.
Cool. I'll add it to my list.
Yeah. It's definitely worth the play. I need to.
For $20, I mean, $20 is my sweet spot. I mean,
as soon as
I
saw it,
willing to take a chance on something I might not like.
I knew I would like it because I liked No More Heroes, and when I saw it was $20 on Amazon that day, I was like, I have to order.
No More Heroes is a pretty good game. I think I got about halfway through it. I think I just got distracted by other stuff.
I didn't play there was a second one, wasn't it? There's no more. I haven't played it. I played the first one, but I didn't play
the second one. The second one's better. Is it? Okay. And it has like move compatibility and stuff.
Yeah, see, it was on the Wii U or the Wii first. And when it came out, by the time it came out on the PlayStation 3, I had forgot about it. So
You know, the thing is, maybe those games don't sell the best over here in the States, but if they have a little bit of a following, it's like Exa. They're going to keep.
And they will. The XC, they always do that. You know, it's they're them and Atlas and.
Who's behind Lollipop Chainsaw?
I
heard bad things.
I think it's the same people. I think it's the same people that did Killer is Dead. Now I haven't played it, but a lot of people said it was really good. I heard anyway. But that's
pretty sure that Lollipop Chainsaw is the same guy who did No More Heroes.
I think so. I think it is.
I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
Pseudo, what's his name?
I'm almost sure it is.
It looked boring to me though from the footage I saw. But I never played it.
It was short. It should have been like a $30 game.
Yeah, I never played it either. But I'm pretty sure it's the same guy who did No More Heroes and Killer is Dead. I'm almost positive. So.
If not, they're doing a good job of imitating.
It could be. It could very well be. Well, you know, we could get up some money and buy the Amalur IP. It's still available. Nobody bought it.
Do you think we can get an acceptable bid?
You know.
Because that was the word that stood out on me
in
this news article. There weren't any acceptable ones. So it's like, okay,
but
what is an acceptable
bid?
Yeah,
I'm wondering how much they're wanting for it. Sounds to me like they might be wanting too much for it. Maybe the problem, but yeah, it's kind of
like, guys, at this point, you're going to be happy to get $5.
Yeah. It's kind of sad. Cause
it is sad. Like, I don't know. It has a lot of potential. They could do something cool with a new game. But I don't think anyone's going to really want to buy the MMO.
I don't either.
Because just with the way MMOs in general are right now, mm-hmm. and then just all of the stuff that's surrounding Kingdoms of Amalur to this point, that it's just one of those things. Maybe nobody wants to touch it anymore. Well, that could anymore. Be.
And did either of you play it when it came yeah. out? I got it for review, but now it's free on PlayStation mm-hmm. Plus, and it's a decent role.
Oh, yeah,
game.
I liked it. It's fun.
It's entertaining. I put about 40 hours into it. I liked it. I don't know if I would play it again, but I was like, oh, I should get it.
I only played the demo of it, but it was a pretty long yeah, demo, so I got at least a decent taste of it. Not I mean, if the full game by
I
any bought means, it on.
I guess I would kind of. I don't know what to really describe it as. Maybe it's dungeon, kind of like Dungeon Siege-like.
Yeah,
maybe.
I mean, it's
really
it's
know.
Kind of a mix of a lot of things. It kind of feels like World of Warcraft, mm-hmm. but it kind of feels like Elder Scrolls, but it kind of feels like, you know, it kind of feels like a bunch of different games kind of put together. I liked it. I liked it a lot. I bought it, paid full price for it on 360, and bought it the day it came out, had it pre-ordered. Bought the strategy guide. still have it all sitting on the shelf. I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's just too bad. It's just really, it's too bad to sink all that money in it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like...
That's the whole thing without that whole game and all the stuff surrounding it is you can sum it up by pretty much, well, that was too bad.
You know...
It was too bad that it didn't sell better. It's too bad that all of the behind-the-scenes stuff killed the franchise. It's too bad that that studio died because of some poor management, mm-hmm. you know? Just the whole thing, just nothing happened to the went the way anyone would want it to go.
Well, and I don't think anybody wants to buy it because they're... You know, the whole MMO thing is kind of strange, you know. Right now, WoW's kind of on the down. You know, it's going down, losing subscribers. You got Elder Scrolls Online coming out, and they've already said it's going to be a pay-to-play monthly fee game. It's not going to be free-to-play. Final Fantasy 14, it's actually doing pretty good. They get about 1.5 million new subscribers a month.
Really? I'm sorry. I just... I just have no desire. MMOs and I don't match.
Well, the trouble is I get too much into MMOs, and that's all I'll play. and, you know, I did the beta for Elder Scrolls a couple weekends ago, and it's really, really good. That's all I'm going to say, because it was a closed beta, so I had this big agreement that I couldn't say anything about the game.
I didn't get to play it. I was sad, but I had a couple friends who did, who got to play, and they said they really enjoyed it.
I did. I really enjoyed it, but it's like, can I pay another $15 a month for a game? No. You know, I don't know. You know, do I want to put that much?
The sad thing is, like, all of these eventually are going to go free to play, and they make more money free to play anyway. Yeah. But and we look at it as mm-hmm. like, ooh, it's free, but then you end up spending more money on it than you would if you were just doing a subscription. Either it's,
you know what, I bought
this really insidious.
I bought DC Universe Online when it came out, paid for 3 months of it, and then it went free to play, and I never spent another dime on it. I never bought another thing on it, but I still play it. But I never spent a dime on it.
I could,
but I haven't.
You'd already put the money into mm-hmm. it, so it's kind of one of those things where if you had started from scratch,
right,
with not having paid anything, and then you probably would have bought some more.
Maybe.
But, you know, there's people like us that would be like, yeah, I might buy a thing or two, but there's so many people that are like, oh, I got to get this hat, or I got to get this thingy, and I got to buy that thingy, and it's oh, it's only $2, and buy it before you know it. You've spent, you know, $100 on this
thing. Yeah.
You're in there pretty deep.
Let's see, what else? If you have digital versions of Marvel vs. Capcom 2, 3, and all the DC DLC, you better download it now because it's not going to be available on Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, I think starting tomorrow. I think I read
17th,
that's tomorrow. Yep, it's all coming down.
And
which I find funny because Xbox Live is having a sale on Marvel vs. Capcom 3 right now for $5. I saw
that's so
it
weird.
Is weird.
Like, has Capcom just like got some weird like issue with rights?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Something, you know, they don't say. So I don't know. With Marvel in there, you wonder if that's kind of what
probably
is going on. But then there's also Skullgirls is supposedly in danger of being removed too. So it's like maybe it's just Capcom is having issues for some reason with something.
I'm guessing copyright things must be running out, and Yeah, that would...
Well, Skullgirls shouldn't be, like... That's just some weird other thing. It's not any copyright tied to that.
There wasn't no toys with that or something? I thought Skullgirls was toys or something. I don't know.
But that was like a... And maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing. I thought that was a little indie fighting
maybe
game.
Maybe it is. I don't remember. Because I never paid any attention to it. Let's see.
It's not Capcom. That's Skullgirls, though. That's something else. I haven't read the article. I just saw it was mentioned. Yeah. Let's see. Come
on. No, it's a 2D fighting game by Konami. And Autumn Games. Never played it. I remember seeing things about it, but I never played it.
Yeah. I just remember when it was being developed before it came out. I remember reading some stuff on it, but that was it. Never really paid attention to it beyond that.
But what's funny is the article says Marvel vs. Capcom 3's DLC is currently 50% off on PSN right now. And like I said, I saw a tweet today that it's $5 on Xbox Live for the game. And December 17th, it will disappear from PSN, and 17th and 19th in North America and Europe. And 26th from Xbox Live, which I actually have Marvel vs. Capcom 2 downloaded on my Xbox 360. Now, here's what I wonder, and it doesn't say in this article, but I have seen where they take games away before, but it's still available for download under your account. You just can't buy it new. Like, if you just bought a 360 and go, I want Marvel vs. Capcom 2, you can't buy it. But if you've bought it before, it's still on your account, and you can still download it from the Microsoft servers. It's just not available for purchase anymore. But it doesn't, that the article doesn't say if it is or not. I guess I'll find out, because when they take it off, I'll go back through and look at my look at my downloads, because I have Marvel vs. Capcom 3 on disc, and I have the DLC for it, too, so... I guess I'll see tomorrow if it's all removed or not from my account. But I have a feeling it's probably just going to go away. But if you still have your account, you'll probably still be able to download it. You just won't be able to buy it anymore, rebuy it. Who knows? It's just weird. That's the only thing I can think of. It must be copyright things with Marvel going away. They may have only had the license for so long. Who knows? It's hard to tell. It's very strange, though. I saved this one for last because I thought it was very interesting. The YouTube and
interesting. It's stupid.
Yeah, and I wondered if it affected you in any way. The YouTube.
Oh, we can get into it. I've actually know quite a bit about this because I've been several videos out on people talking about it. Big YouTube channels talking about stuff. I watched a bit of a live stream earlier today. Mm-hmm. People talking about it, so I've heard quite a bit about
it. Go for it, because I haven't read whole lot. Anyway, what we're talking about is YouTube and the copyright things, if you guys haven't already figured that out. So go ahead.
Well, what's going on recently, they did some change to where it used to be before you'd have, for monetizing videos on YouTube, you'd either do it through YouTube, so YouTube handles it, or you'd have all of your channel partners that are like Machinima, things like that, where you'd sign up with them and they would handle all of the things and you'd get your money kind of through them versus through YouTube directly. Right. And what they were supposed to do is police all of their channels for copyright and all this stuff. Now, apparently, these multi-channel networks is what YouTube is calling them. They're going to be categorized two different ways. So you're going to have affiliates and you're going to have managed channels under those. So the managed ones are kind of the same. And then affiliates are just like, okay, you're still with Machinima, but Machinima isn't really going to do much for you. You get all of the copyright flags coming to you because this review process has always existed. But because of this, for some reason, there's been a flood of, you know, these claims put up against people. And most of them seem to be shady.
Right.
From what I've been hearing, there's all these, a lot with music too, especially where there's some random weird company trying to put up claims that they don't actually have a claim to do stuff, and it's hitting gaming channels and stuff the most, which is why I've been hearing a lot about it, because a lot of the big gaming channels have been speaking up about it a lot, giving their opinions on it or just saying how it affects them or what they think is going to happen. Right. And if things go the wrong way, this could totally just kill YouTube.
Well, yeah, really.
As far as games go. Because if you don't monetize, it doesn't really affect you at all, at least at this point. And if you monetize just through YouTube, it's not really any different because you would have had to handle all this stuff anyway. Mm. But it's just kind of like the way it is all the channels that put up all this stuff, the burden's on them to prove that they have the rights to use this, and anybody can just throw up a claim on you and it just immediately flags your video, takes it down, or you just can't monetize it. So what really hurts is all these channels that have time sensitive stuff. So you want to put up a review of a game right as embargo goes away, or there's some big news story that comes out and you want to put your video up, but you can't make money on it because it's gotten flagged by, you know, any number of reasons it can get flagged and stuff. So if you can't make money on it by the time that it goes through the process, even just, you know, it's supposedly a few hours up to a few days, you know, all that time goes by, you're not going to make any money on it because no one's going to be watching your video anymore. So it could really, really hurt a lot of the people who like make their money on YouTube,
right,
or, you know, at least a large portion of it. So it could cause a lot of, you know, pain and stuff. There's, I forget, it's like the next few months that this is going to be going through and doing stuff. So like there's also this kind of weird back side effect of this is a lot of the game publishers have been saying, like, speaking up on it, like, hey, you can go ahead and put your stuff on YouTube. Here's this page, point it to this. Which is cool and all, and some of those already existed.
Yeah.
So, like, I know Ubisoft has put up a thing, you know, Valve is all, like, point them to this page, and it's all basically, like, you can put up stuff on YouTube of our games, and, you know, it's, like, put some guidelines on it, but it's pretty much a pretty simple thing. It's like, hey, yes, you can do this, you can even monetize it, you just can't, you know, resell our actual assets or, you know, stuff like that.
Right.
You can put advertisers via, you know, the YouTube monetization system, basically, is saying, yes, it is okay to do this. You can't put it behind a paywall, you know, do your own thing, but you can do that. And so there's lots of publishers who said that, some that haven't, some that have just said nothing. So
right.
Who knows? There'll be more people coming up with that,
I think.
That's
what the second link is there. That's like a bunch of publishers.
Yeah.
What they have said.
It's just one of those things that, though, even though that exists, the fact that, like, it's so easy for someone to just, like, throw up a thing. And a lot of this is automated, is from what I've been reading, is, like, they'll have these music companies or even some other stuff. They'll just, like, throw out a blanket thing, like, here's our stuff. They basically have to go to YouTube and say, here's the thing, and here's a whole list of our stuff. And, like, they even maybe upload the music. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but basically it'd be... It gets fed into a system, and then it goes through all the, you know, YouTube stuff, and it'll flag everything.
Right.
But the funny thing is, some channels, like, there's, I was reading of one that they have the same sort of little intro on their videos, like a little logo thing, basically. It uses some music in it that's the exact same in every single video, and is some, you know, like, royalty-free thing, or whatever it is, wherever they got it. But they have the rights to use it, and, like, half their videos got flagged and half didn't. So it's not even a perfect system. It's just all just causing chaos at this point.
And I wondered how it was flagging, if it was like, you know, if it was just going by the title of something, you know, if you put in, you know.
No, it can be some title stuff, but they can, like, even go and, like, look at the waveforms of audio and stuff like that. To a point. So it's just kind of all these crazy systems in place, plus some people trying to put claims on stuff they can't, some being actually fraudulent, some just being kind of iffy on whether they could do it or not, or some just flagging it, hoping people don't dispute it, just to take stuff down. Some things it's like, okay, well, they actually do have the rights to use it, but it's kind of like, well, close enough that we're going to go ahead and try and send a thing anyway, and it's still, because of the way it's set up, that the channels are the ones that have to say yes and prove they have to do it. You don't have to prove anything to say that it's your content, to say, oh, okay, this is mine, here you go. It's kind of easy to do that. It's like, okay, a company says, here's all our stuff. They don't have very little to prove as far as that end goes, but then it's just really hard for the channels on the far end that get flagged to say, yes, we can use it, and the process is slow enough that it's just a pain.
It's crazy. It just seems crazy. But, you know, you're talking about flag things. You know, when I first got that little game capture device and I was trying to just capture game footage of different games, the one that every time I'd try to throw it up just to see what it looked like when I'd throw it up was the Yakuza one, the Yakuza 5. Every time I'd throw it up immediately, it would flag it. Yeah, it would flag and say, Sega does not want this displayed. So I would have to, like, to show you guys what it looked like, I had to make it private and send you guys a message, say, here, what'd you think of this? Did it look good? You know.
Well, the weird thing with this stuff is it's all in a weird gray area.
Right.
Because with, like, movies or something, they don't want people putting up movies, and that's pretty straightforward. It's like, okay, if you capture a TV show or movie or, you know, some sort of video content from somewhere else and put it on YouTube, you know that's not right. yours, you know, to a point or something. Yeah, you know, if you're using a clip for a you're doing a review or something like that, there are ways you can do that and have fair use, but you're not just going to like repost a movie on YouTube and be able to get away with it. And it's very straightforward. But with games, it's this weird gray area. There's no like legal precedent or anything set for it. Is it really their content? Because you watch it on YouTube, it's not the same as playing it. And you watching somebody, you could go watch, you know, three different people play the same game. It would be completely different.
Well, I guess.
And so is it like, I forget the term I'm looking for right now, but it's kind of like.
What is.
I don't know. It's this weird thing that games are completely different, and it's just a weird way that it gets affected the most by whatever they're doing here is kind of the gaming side of YouTube, which is a huge part of stuff.
What I don't understand is what's the difference in me putting up a video or streaming a video of me playing Batman Arkham Origins on YouTube as it is if I put it on Twitch? What's the difference? Yeah. Other than it's one's YouTube and one's Twitch, but it's the exact same. Pretty yeah, nice. But I mean, you know, my thing is okay, let's say when you record something on Twitch, after it's over, it gives you the option to upload it to YouTube so it'll stay there forever. But you know what's funny is I can stream it, store it on Twitch for a month, month and a half, and nobody says anything about it. But then you upload it to YouTube and it'd be like, oh, that's not legal, right? You can't do that. Why? It doesn't make sense.
It's because YouTube has different stuff than Twitch does, and Twitch is small potatoes compared to YouTube to this point. Like, it's getting bigger, and it's really big at this point, and it's huge, and it's getting bigger all the time, but it's not Google behind it, and you don't have all these crazy algorithms to search for stuff and all this automatic stuff that's, like, looking at everything that goes up, that whether it is or not, you probably could put it up there and have no problems, shouldn't be able to have... You know, shouldn't have any problems putting it up, but because of all the stuff that's there in YouTube.
I tell you.
And, you know, there's some stuff that's there for good reason, and the thought behind it, I get why. It's just that the way that they're implementing it and just the way that... Ever since Google bought YouTube, it's kind of like they don't know how to do YouTube right, or everything they try to do just ends up being executed poorly or wrong, or just, you know, like, sub boxes still don't work and haven't worked for a year or over a year now. Like, they'll just break every so often, and there's weird little workarounds that you can do to fix it for a while, but that's if you notice that it's broken, and that's, you know, it's going to break again. So, like, right now, my sub box, sometimes a few videos won't show up.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, that's another problem that people who, you know, monetize their channels and get money from views, it hurts them a lot when, you know, sub boxes get broken. Half the people, you know, they get half the views they normally are used to getting because this one basic function of YouTube isn't working properly.
Yeah, it's just
and there's that stuff with, you know, like messages in there. You know, they just had the recent change with the comments section getting linked to Google Plus with the uproar on that. It's just all this crazy stuff, one after another. That's just like, man, YouTube is getting several hits in a row.
I'll tell you what, it's you look at the upswing in traffic that Twitch has had since PlayStation 4 came out, and you can stream. And when they update the Xbox One to stream, I think Google's really making a mistake going too hardcore with this. They got to get it working.
In general, a lot of it is, people, if they want to watch a Let's Play style thing of just somebody playing it, will go to watch it live on Twitch versus YouTube anymore.
Well,
you still have the other style of videos that people will go and watch on YouTube that aren't, you know, live tech things. But if it's just, hey, here's somebody playing a game, I'll just, you know, I feel like watching somebody play Minecraft or somebody playing League of Legends or somebody playing this or that. You'll just go to Twitch and click on, say, who's playing this? Okay.
Well, you know, but they just opened up the YouTube streaming to everybody. Well, I won't say everybody. It's rolling out to people slowly. But, you know, but this...
Yay,
yeah, but now that they've done it, it's like...
Never worked well.
It's like...
It works okay, but people don't use it as often because Twitch works better.
Yeah, and it's easy. It's easy on Twitch. It's just so, especially, and I don't know, Eric, you probably haven't messed with it yet, but it's so easy to stream from the PlayStation 4. I just hit that button, make a little tweet, and it just does it. It just does it. It's just that easy. Just get in and go. I don't have to, you know, do anything. Yeah. Even
on PC, it's not super difficult to stream.
Well, with this Elgato box, it's not hard to do that either. I just click a button on the OBS and it goes. I don't know. I think YouTube is making, they could really, Google could really do something cool with YouTube and this streaming stuff, but I think they're going to it up.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, it's just kind of like the way that they've handled YouTube for the past few couple years. It just kind of doesn't give you much faith for what they're going to be doing in the future, that they'll handle it properly. YouTube is way too big to disappear, right, you know, overnight, but this could hurt it a lot, especially as far as like video game content.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, a lot of companies, like, you know,
who knows? It's one of those things where it's kind of still happening, and it'll be a little bit before we see all the fallout from it. But maybe it'll end up being nothing. Maybe it'll end up being the huge thing that kills something, but it'll probably be somewhere in between.
You're probably right.
Yeah.
We'll see. Who knows?
The only time. Yeah.
Okay, anything else? I put in the show notes week 2 and week 3 of the PSN sale. Now, take note, week 2 will end whenever the store updates tomorrow, sometime between 2 and 8.
Outside of like the Tomb Raider bundle and the Dungeons & Dragons game, there's no one that just stands out. I guess Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Marvel vs. Capcom 1.
I bought NHL 14, $15 for a $60 game. It's pretty cool. Spelunking, I bought it. It's a cross-buy, so for $3.75, I got the Vita version and the Xbox version, or the PlayStation version. It's really cool. It's very hard.
I hear a lot of people do not like that game because it's punishingly
hard. It is punishingly hard, and it's all random. So you'll go through the map one time, and if you die before you get to the end of that map and you start over again, it'll be a totally different map when you start over again. But it's fun. I like those kind of games.
Spelunky.
Buy Marvel vs. Capcom 2, $3.75 before it disappears tomorrow.
it might be worth attempting to get. Oh, so what's the difference between that and Origins? I don't know the difference.
I have not played Origins, so I don't know. I think it's like a prequel game or something. I don't know. I really don't have a clue about it. But yeah, that Dungeons & Dragons game.
Fighting games.
That Dungeons & Dragons game, I played the demo of it, and it was really good. It reminded me of the old arcade days. And I'm tempted to get it for $3.75. Especially since there's really nothing new, nothing cool coming up that I don't already have. This week it's Guacamelee, cross-buy for $3.75. That's pretty good. Pixel Junkie, they say, is good, but I've never played it. Limbo's awesome, but I have it on PC. Deadpool was still not worth $25. And Angry Birds Star Wars is sure as heck not worth $32. I'm still...
That's ridiculous. It's not barely on sale. $6? $7?
I don't know. I think I played...
$10 for God of War Ascension?
Yeah, if you don't already have it, $10, that is a good buy. It's a good game. Blood Money's pretty good, $4.25. It's a good HD version. I have the collection. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Deadpool's worth about $15. I want to play it.
It's good. I'm telling you, $10 is my maximum.
Do you have it?
I rented it, and that was it.
I should rent it.
Lego Marvel's good. It's a good price on Lego Marvel for the Vita. $23. That's not bad, but still, it's not.
Does it feel like it's gimped?
Yeah, it feels really weird compared to the. I don't know why they have such a hard time making a Lego game exactly the same on each system. It doesn't make sense. They got to make it different on the Vita, and it's just weird because you don't have two people on the screen at one time. You know how most Lego games you have two figures and you just swap back and forth between the figures. It's not like that on the Vita version. You have one figure on the screen. If you want to swap to another figure, you have to go up and you have to push the touch the screen, and it swaps, takes one character out, puts the other character in, and you go. And it's just, I don't like that. It's dumb. So,
maybe it's a thing that they think the handheld version has to be different because of the past. It had to be. And two, it would be a different developer doing the port, most likely.
I'm guessing so. It drives me crazy, though, because I'm like, I just want the same console game on my portable game. That's all I want. That's too much to ask.
Especially with the Lego games, it would be great.
But, I guess that's why I have remote play. So so some good, there's some good deals. I guess there'll be one more.
Like Far Cry 3, $18. I guess it's decent, but since I just got it on Steam for $7.50 a week or two ago, come on.
I got it free on PlayStation Plus on my UK account, so it's
Ooh.
Yeah, which I still haven't played it yet. I'm still downloading.
It's good.
I'm still downloading games from my PlayStation 3 where I replaced a hard drive. Downloading games.
Can you put that UK account on your PlayStation 4?
Yes, I already have. But
they probably don't have.
They have the exact same thing on the PlayStation 4 as they do in America right now. But here's.
Yeah, it's going to take a while to build up. Right. Then there'll be some differences again.
But what's funny is, and I don't know if you noticed this when you were setting up your PlayStation 4, but you had to make it. Is this your PlayStation?
I made it like the main account.
If your buddy, you can give your account to your buddy, and he can download the game. But the only way he'd be able to play the game is he has to go into your account and make his console the main console, then log back out and you can play. Because when I downloaded my EU account, the war plane game. It's got planes in it. It's free to play. Golly, what is that thing called? And it hasn't come out in America yet, but it's out in the UK. Shite. I forget the name of it. It's War or something. I want to say Warzone, but that's not it. It's War. Anyway, you fly planes and stuff like that. It's World of Planes or something. Anyway, so when I put my EU account on it, downloaded it, then I went back in, and when I went to play the game, there was a little lock beside it. It's like, well, what the crap is this? So then when I went back into my EU account, made it the main console for my EU account, went back into my American account, I could play it under my American account. So that's the trick. You know, before you didn't have to do that. You know, if you could have it up to two consoles, you could share the games, you could play online with each other, everything like that. You won't be able to do that this time. So technically, they're not. Mm-hmm. Technically, they didn't lock the console, but technically, they locked the account is what it amounts to. So it's really weird, but yeah. So no more game sharing, it kind of sucked because I like to do that with me and my buddy. You want to buy this game? Yeah, we'll just split the cost and be good with it. So, but yep. So anything else? I guess this will be our last show for Christmas. So anybody ask for anything cool for Christmas that they think they're getting?
Nah, my brother asked for a bunch of stuff from Steam, so I'll pick him up a couple things cheap, like BioShock Infinite.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just I want some spending money for Steam, so when the Steam sale comes, if anything on my wish list goes on sale for a good price, that's about the only thing I want. I've got so much to play right now that even if I got nothing to do,
gets mad at me because she's like, every time there's something that she thinks she'll buy me for Christmas, I already bought it.
That's what I told her. Christmas gift. I want time. I want time to play all these games.
I told her. I said, you don't have to buy me anything. Just let me buy what I want. And it's Merry Christmas all the time.
My wife's kind of the same way. She's like, I don't like buying you games because you play them and then you trade them or get rid of them and you never hang on to them. And you're just going to get it cheaper for yourself like 2 weeks later. So I'm just like, just give me gift cards.
Yeah, I forget what it was I bought the other day. And my wife was like, well, I was going to buy that for you for Christmas, but you went ahead and bought it now. Which, you know, I'm like, I'm okay with that. That's fine. You know, whatever. I don't like surprises anyway. What's funny is I bought that Chromecast. I bought one for my brother too. Nice. So I had to buy myself one. So when he calls and says, how do you work this thing? I go, okay, let me mess with mine. Cause I actually have one right here. Cause he likes to watch the West Virginia games, and he lives in the D.C. area. They never show him, so he usually watches them on his computer. So why not give him something that he can stream them to the TV with? So
Football update for any of those who care. Baltimore and Detroit, and game is over. Justin Tucker kicked a 61-yarder.
Let me rub that in.
Thank you, fantasy.
Let me
sports.
Send a text to my buddy who's a Detroit fan. Hang on, where'd my phone?
I don't really care that much about either team. I'm more interested in, you know, Megatron doing well and Justin Tucker for fantasy wise kicking large field goals.
Like Baltimore, even though they're technically Cleveland. I can kind of like them. My niece lives literally right next door to the stadium, so it's like, well, we kind of root for them because, you know, they're kind of her hometown team.
There were some interesting games in like that San Francisco and Tampa Bay or San Francisco Tampa Bay game.
Dude, I was watching that. I was watching the Packers. I was watching the Packers Cowboys game. I'd given up on that game at halftime and then turned around and won it. But anyway.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tony Romo. That's all I could say.
Tony Romo playing for the Packers.
He got my MVP player of the week. I don't know about anybody else.
He always does that.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him. Not really, but because I'm not a Cowboys fan at all. I hate the Cowboys. But that's okay. I have my reasons. All right. Well, if there's nothing else, Eric, why don't you read us out?
Okay, I'll read us out. You can email us at goosernationpodcast@gmail.com. You can call us at 206-202-5704. You can follow us on Twitter at GoozerN_podcast. I'm Eric, and I'm at KUBE00Cube00. John is at JCMeadows94, and Nathaniel is at Polygon_Wizard. You can check out the site, GoozerNation.com. We have editorials, reviews, opinions, blah, 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 all that great stuff. If you write to us or email us or tweet at us or something, I'm sure we can find some sort of prize to give you. Oh, yeah,
absolutely. I'm sure we got some kind of game or maybe some movie or something.
Maybe some Walking Dead season 2, maybe.
Yeah, that comes out. Does that come out tomorrow?
That's out pretty soon.
It's tomorrow.
You can buy it. If you buy it from good old, or from Green Man Gaming, or a couple other places, they're offering like 10% off, so you can save a few bucks.
I gotta see. I'm almost sure that's tomorrow. That's gotta be right at the top of the list there. Walking Dead season 2. Yep, December 17th on Steam. Now, I don't know about consoles, but that's tomorrow. Well, now, isn't that interesting? Okay. May have to check that out. All right, guys. We will not have a show next week. I'm out of town, and Eric's out of town. So, probably right now, it's looking like the 30th will probably be our last show. So we'll have one more show before the end of the year. So, we'll have all our end-of-the-year stuff then. We hope you all have a good Christmas, a good holiday, and be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, rate us, leave us some feedback, let us know what you guys think. And like I say, we'll be back sometime around the end of the month, and have a good holiday. We'll see you later.
See you later.
See you later.